This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
The Holy Father has been in the news the last few days. He's still recovering from that lung inflammation, but he did find a way to attend today's Wednesday papal audience. What is the latest on the Holy Father, Ashley?
Well, indeed. In fact, on this chilly November day, the audience was held inside the Paul VI audience hall, where it was nice and cozy warm. And the Holy Father was not able to read his own weekly message, which is what he typically does as he shares his weekly catechesis. But instead, a Monsignor from the Secretary of State did it in his stead. And he spoke today about a pervasiveness of what he called a contemporary negativity. The reality of today, there are so many difficulties that people must face. He said that often it's because people are trying to organize a civilization without including God in that civilization. And he looked at the fact that many cities have these tall skyscrapers that point up to the heavens, kind of like the Tower of Babel. But despite all of this, people are not looking vertically. Instead, they are living horizontally. And therefore, he said, today is a very important time to evangelize. He said that it's possible to proclaim Christ only by entering into the culture of one's own time. And he quoted St. Paul, now's the acceptable time, the day of salvation. And he said that it's only the gospel that offers a hopeful outlook on contemporary culture. And Christians should be at the crossroads of society at all times, offering joy and hope of the gospel. And he said, if they're not joyful, they're not credible, because it's only Christ who offers joy and hope and peace. And speaking of peace, he also turned his attention to the Holy Land today and called for an extension of the truce that, of course, finishes at midnight tonight. He said that war is a defeat for everyone, except he did make an exception, except for arms manufacturers, he said. So he asked for all to specifically pray for the situation in the Holy Land. He mentioned that he had spoken to the parish of the Holy Family in Gaza. They have no bread, he said. It's a dire situation. He asked people also to pray for those suffering in Ukraine and in other war situations. And in fact, the Papal Worldwide Prayer Network has now begun a novena specifically for peace in the Holy Land. So the words that the Holy Father used today were simple and ones that we can repeat as well. They were peace, please, peace. John.
Well, the fact that the Holy Father made it to the Wednesday audience is a good thing. He's clearly still not 100%. What's the latest on his health?
Yeah, in fact, Johnny's canceled many of his appointments, although what they're calling his institutional appointments, he's trying to maintain, and today's audience being one of them, although we didn't see him on Sunday for the Angelus. But indeed, he has canceled the trip that was planned for this weekend. He was supposed to go from the 1st to the 5th of December to Dubai for a conference, and he was going to address the conference assembly there. He was going to participate in the inauguration of a faith pavilion in there, and that all is not going to happen. But in the meantime, the Vatican has reported that he is more stable, was the quote, that he's doing well, that he hasn't had a fever in these last days. And of course, this is following the visit that he made on Saturday to Gemelli Hospital with the flu. And earlier this year, you may remember back in March, he also had a respiratory infection. He was hospitalized for that. He had bronchitis. He received intravenous antibiotics at that time and was discharged after 3 days. And then back to 2021, in July of that year, he was hospitalized in Gemelli for an intestinal surgery for 10 days. And then about a year after that, he had to have another abdominal hernia surgery. So he certainly, we've watched him go through these different periods of difficulty and suffering. But the word from the Vatican right now is that he is doing well and is his recovery is going quickly, and all is looking good.
Well, we continue to pray for the Holy Father's full recovery, and he manages to stay with a smile, to stay joyful.
Well, that is a gift, I think, for all of us to handle our suffering with joy. And I think that fits in with the words of today's audience, too, that to be credible witnesses of Christ, we need to exude joy and show hope to the world today.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, there was a Diocesan World Youth Day event that was celebrated earlier this week. How did it go?
Well, this is very interesting. It's the 38th Diocesan World Youth Day, and this is sponsored by the Dicastery for Laity at the Vatican. So not to be confused with the major World Youth Days. Of course, the last one happened in Lisbon just this year in July, from the 26th to 31st of July. This is something that happens locally. So the idea is to encourage all local parishes and dioceses to bring youth together to keep the spirit of these World Youth Days alive. So the theme for this year was rejoicing in hope. And the idea was that whatever we face, to continue to trust in God. The idea behind the World Diocesan World Youth Days is that they should be what's called a festival of faith. So the events that happen would focus around the Eucharist, of course. The bishop should be involved. It should involve the opportunity for vocational discernment and should give all the participants the experience of the universality of the church and fraternity within the universal church. And the theme for this year was rejoicing in hope. It was the idea of how to maintain positivity in dark times. In fact, in his letter for this Diocesan World Youth Day, Pope Francis said that one's youth should be a time of dreams, but these days there's a lot of darkness in the world. So instead, he invited all youth to make a pilgrimage of hope and to be part of Christ's answer to the problem, because he said hope grows when it's shared and it's actually meant for everyone. So the final conclusion, the final message of the Diocesan World Youth Day, the 38th annual one, was to encourage all youth to share words of hope in Christ to all of their friends. And so that is what we hope and pray, that the enthusiasm will carry to the ends of the earth for all who participate in these the Diocesan World Youth Day celebrations, John.
How big of a crowd was there from the young people for this local Diocesan World Youth Day event?
So, you know, these really actually happen typically in parishes. Sometimes they'll be diocese-wide where there'll be, you know, a certain event at a certain location. So it really varies from diocese to diocese. And for any diocese who isn't aware about this, this is a great opportunity to learn about it. And you can go to the Dicastery for Laity, the Vatican's Dicastery for Laity website, and you can actually download all of the information that they have there about how to celebrate one of these special Diocesan World Youth Days, what the themes should be, what they should focus on. You know, all these special things are all listed in there so that anyone can create a celebration in their own parish or diocese, John.
Meanwhile, tomorrow is the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle. It'll be the beginning of the St. Andrew Novena. How will this feast day be celebrated in Italy and in Rome?
Yes. Well, you know, here in Rome, over at the Vatican, they actually will display relics of St. Andrew. So this is an opportunity for pilgrims to go into St. Peter's Basilica and spend some time there praying at the relics. And in the meantime, in different parts of Italy, there are different types of celebrations going on. For example, in Amalfi, who St. Andrew is the patron of that little town, and they have a grand celebration with a big procession. But then over in Pescara, they celebrate in a big way too. As the procession with the statue of St. Andrew begins, the local bishop blesses the statue, since this is a seaside community, the procession walks down to the boardwalk in front of the seashore there with a big brass band playing in front. And then they transfer the statue from the procession actually onto a boat. And the boat then travels from this port of Pescara toward the open sea, going under a very famous bridge there. And then when they get out to the open sea, there's a whole bunch of fishing boats that are waiting there. And the bishop will lead prayer, for example, and then will throw a laurel wreath into the sea. And this is especially to remember all those who have been drowned at sea. And the celebration will finish with a big fireworks display right there on the beachfront. So, of course, as we always say, John, the Italians never join us in the rich ways, the beautiful traditions that they choose to celebrate our faith.
And it's so appropriate to have a big celebration for St. Andrew the Apostle, the brother of St. Peter. And I find it fascinating that St. Andrew is honored in both lungs of the church, both in the East and the West. Our Orthodox brothers have a great devotion to St. Andrew.
Yes, in fact, and so a few years ago, the Pope actually gave some of the relics of St. Andrew back to the Eastern Church, and so that was a beautiful sign of fraternity between the two churches and the unity as well. So, indeed, another way to bring both lungs to breathe together simultaneously.
Absolutely. And with the Feast of St. Andrew tomorrow, that means that the Advent season is right around mm-hmm. the corner. So happy Advent to you, Ashley. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning from India for this special Rome to Home segment.
Well, John, it is always a delight for me to be with you from anywhere in the world. And all the best, and also happy early Advent wishes to you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.